speak to you really soon. Are you a light worker? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a star seed. Perhaps you're something else entirely, like part of the 144,000. Perhaps you are a grid worker, a way shower, a front runner, a black sheep who's here to break the spell, a truther, a spiritual warrior. Oh la la, do you see what's happening here? We have a lot of labels. And you know this about yourself, that a label doesn't really fit you. Certainly not one label. You could be multiple things, little bit of this, little dash of that, because you don't fit into a small field of definition. You transcend that because you're multidimensional. These that I'm about to share with you are phases of your spiritual journey, not labels. If you can move beyond the idea that these are fixed, status-driven ideas of your own identity, kind of like saying, well, you're a light worker, you'll only ever be this, or you're a star seed, you'll only ever be that. We are constantly shape-shifting ourselves through our spiritual journey. We're continually evolving, and as we do, we experience different categories, different nuances of the spiritual journey. Different phases have different experiences that are so aligned to that experience that they get names like light worker, star seed, etc. And as you understand what these different phases are, then you understand yourself, your next steps, the steps you've already walked through, because that's what I want you to see today. I want you to see, whoa, I have passed through more of these phases than I realize. I've been in more of these categories than I've ever allowed myself credit for. That's what you're going to see today. So let's start with a light worker. A light worker is somebody, I hate to make it this simple. Simple doesn't mean trivial, just so you know. And simple also doesn't mean easy. Because you'll see that as I present this information to you, that I'm really simplifying, but, and you might think, hey, maybe it's because Carrie's just a simple gal. Well, that would be true, but more truthful is that when we move into higher levels of truth, truth is simple. We, when we analyze, we create complexity. So don't be afraid to allow yourself to see, almost like you're zooming out, you're seeing a bigger picture, and you begin to recognize a fundamental truth about yourself. And that fundamental truth is that our nature is alchemy. Alchemists transform states of being. They transform energy through their being from one state to another, which transforms this realm from one state of third dimensional consciousness to a higher state of fifth dimensional consciousness. We do this from the inside because it is who we are. And these are the phases of our alchemical journey. Let's go deeper now into who these light workers are. The crazy thing about them is these guys really battle to say, I'm a light worker. And it's funny because they probably are the greatest in number. And yet they don't like putting their hand up and saying, yeah, that's me. I'm a light worker. They almost think that it's too big for them or it's for special people because they like to downplay themselves. They kind of appreciate being in the background. A light worker is someone who works with light. Yes, it's that simple. But what does it mean to work with light? Light is a language. And no, I'm not talking about a language in words, because we do have that as well. Just to complicate things even more, we have this idea that there is a language called light language. There is no one thing that light languages. True light workers don't speak in words, even if they're non-intellectual ones, because they don't need them. When universes speak to each other, when planetary bodies speak to each other, galaxies speak to each other, star beings speak to each other, they speak in light, which is not an audible conversation yet. It's a conversation that will call every single multidimensional part of you to attention because it's so all-encompassing. We're used to listening with our ears and processing through the brain, and one day we're going to realize, whoa, That was slow. Using words is the slowest way of transmitting information. When you transmit with light, you can transmit libraries of information that bypasses the intellect, because this is now the higher mind, the cosmic mind that speaks in light and listens in light and feels in light. Enlightened beings are light workers. And enlightenment's not a destination, it is an alignment, it's a journey, and a light worker walks in the journey of enlightenment. Light is what happens when you become conscious. That's what the language of light is. It's the language of truth. It's the language of love. It's the language of consciousness. It is what happens to you when you begin to bypass the intellect. That's why light workers really battle with words. They battle to put things into words. They battle to explain what they feel, because what they feel exists beyond the realm of the intellect. So light workers, they play themselves down, they play themselves small, and yet they carry these massive vibratory fields of light, these fields of information that is not limited to words or even to intellects. It bypasses all of that entirely. They're healers. They speak in light. And light ripples. Light is a non-linear, non-intellectual thing, so it's an ocean of wisdom, and the light worker taps into that ocean. And they don't just receive it, they transmit it, because by the very nature of your ability to receive something, especially when what you're receiving is light, light cannot be contained. Light will always ripple from you. It will be emitted from you. So you're going to find people craving to be in your presence for one of two reasons. Either because they're lapping it up, they're just lapping it up. It's kind of activating something in them. Or they're very challenged by it. They're very threatened by it, and they want to shut you down. So light workers will generally, especially in the beginning phases of their journey, attract to them people who try to squash their light, who make them doubt themselves, make them feel small. They've often had that in their childhood, so they've got a lot to overcome. When I talk about a light worker, I personally would love it if the name was more like a light being than a light worker, but we're just splitting hairs if we do that, and then we're getting very much into semantics. This is for me personally. I don't like the term light worker, the worker part of it. Oh, I think we've all got this idea that working is slogging, working is struggling, and I love hard work, and I think hard work is really, really important, essential in fact. But a light being is a being who allows light. They're not earning light. They allow the light in. Their job is that of surrendering, of receptivity, of permissioning. So it's very different when you think of a light being to a light worker. But like I said, that's just semantics, and that's just me wishful thinking. When I say light worker, now you know what a light worker is. The next one that we're going to look at is star seed. Now, this is a different current, a different frequency, a different category. A star seed, man, these guys feel like they don't belong. Star seeds, they really feel like they're born with a horn sticking out or three eyes instead of two. And they'll look in the mirror and go, you know, I look kind of human. But something in them just knows that they don't belong. They feel freakishly, awkwardly weird, and that they can't blend in. The light worker likes to blend in, but the starseed just bloody well can't do it. They carry within them something in their DNA, which is a legacy and a lineage of light. And they feel that it's very activated inside their field. And because of that activation, they have a connection to a family beyond their earth family. They have a connection to a cosmic family. They're homesick. Of all of the phases that you're going to hear me talk about today, all eight of them, these guys are longing, yearning for home. And what is home? This is what I wish every single star seed could understand, that home is a frequency, not a place. It's a state of being, not a planet somewhere. It's a state of being that is our natural, innate truth. And that is what? Love. Light. harmony, connection to God. They look up at the stars and they go, hey, and not necessarily in these words, but they look up at the stars and something in them goes, hey, I remember. I remember when life made sense, because this reality for them does not. And they say, I remember when life made sense and it was out there somewhere. And what they're looking at is a different time. When they look up at the sky, a time when everything was connected for them. Because here on earth, we've been born to the illusion of separation. We've been born to the illusion of loneliness, that we're cut off from the rest of our cosmic family. And that was never the truth, but it is the illusion of our experience. And that illusion has been really real. So starseeds long for home. They think home is out there, but their actual awakening is the realization that home is in here. And do you know when that happens? When they realize, I didn't come here to go home. I came here to bring home here. When they realize that, the penny drops. And number one, they stop being homesick. But number two, they now move beyond that phase of the spiritual journey where they only identify as starseeds. Now they're going to expand beyond that, because that ultimately is the starseed calling. They're going to really look for labels, at least in the beginning of their journey. Starseeds will be ones who are very attracted to labels. Doesn't make them wrong. Labels like this. They'll say, oh, I'm from Aldebaran. Oh, I'm from the Pleiades. Oh, I'm from Orion. I'm from here. I'm from Betelgeuse. I'm from wherever. They really like this idea that home has a name. It's not wrong. It is something in them that recognizes, I once existed beyond this limitation called Earth, beyond this confinement. So it's kind of, if I could give you an equivalent, it's kind of like, imagine if you lived in one home your whole life and all that you had was your yard. That's it. You could only ever, for the entirety of your life, live in this one house, and this, you were confined to the yard of your house. That was as far as you could go. That was the outside that you could reach. You would know, but hold on, even if I can't see other houses out there, there are other houses out there. You would know, and something in you would just call to memory the time when you could go visiting all your neighbors. That's what the starseeds are longing for. So they're very invested in looking for the name. It's kind of like, again, to use that analogy of the house, remember when I lived on, what's a street name I can use? When I lived on Rose Street. Remember when I lived on Rose Street, all of those neighbors. So now they're going to say, I'm a Rose Streetian. Or I'm a Ninth Avenue-ian. That's why they're looking for that belonging. That's their craving. And as soon as they get that they're the remedy, bam, 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 the starseed finds a level of peace. The yearning is very important because it's what draws them into an expanded sense of self and allows them to reclaim their cosmic heritage. Speaking of cosmic heritage, that kind of brings us to number three, which is, oh, a very misunderstood category called the chosen ones, the chosen or the 144,000. 144,000 is a frequency. It's not, for heaven's sakes, a number of people. And the chosen ones, certainly, like any of these labels, are not the special ones, the elites, the ones that kind of have a backstage pass to God, to ascension. That's absolutely not the truth at all. There is a video that I made specifically on the chosen, and I will link it for you because there's a lot in this category. But what I do want to point to with the chosen ones is, firstly, they're the ones who chose. That's what makes them the chosen. They chose to be here with a family. Remember the starseeds? Yeah. So these guys with their cosmic family chose together to be the earth representative of that family. So for example, now you can start seeing, oh, now I get what Kerry's saying about the phases. Now you can start seeing how the star seeds, who are those very connected to their star ancestry, are in fact experiencing only one part of what is otherwise a very broad picture. Because now we realize the 144,000 is the acknowledgement of the fact that you are representing a lineage. Not, again, because you're the most important or the most special, just because you're the one that said yes. You're the volunteer that said, yes, I will do this, knowing that this was going to be a trying journey for you. You would have to drop frequency in order to be here on planet Earth in the first place, because the 144,000, they're a frequency. They are very, very enlightened beings, and they brought themselves, as we all did, into a illusion. And for a highly evolved thing to imagine or to experience ourselves as limited and small and mere mortals and enslaved and conditioned and programmed, these are ways of dumbing ourselves down, and they hurt, each and every single one of them. 144,000, they're here for recovery. They're here to recover themselves. They're here to find that within them that already has the answers. There is something in them that is able to connect to their lineage, to their legacy, and bring it online again. That 144,000, it's a remembering. It's a remembering of that starseed journey and bringing it online so that when they remember in body, they're fulfilling a purpose. And these guys are doing it with their cosmic family. It's just that they're the ones who are in the physical body. They're the ones that are showing up on planet Earth as the human. So they often feel like they're victims, and they often feel like, oh, it's so difficult for me, because they're so connected to the cosmic family, who in their perception has it so much easier. They don't realize their cosmic family is so with them, so supporting them. And when they let that in, oh, the journey becomes so much easier. The fourth category that we're going to have a look at are, well, they're known by two different names, the way showers or the front runners. These guys are, man, they are the ones who I want to describe to you as the battered and the bruised. The battered and the bruised. But they're not the victims by any stretch of the imagination. Why do I describe them as battered and bruised? Because they're the ones who run out and meet the frequencies first. As the light codes hit the planet, the front runners run out to that light. They meet that light. They greet that light. They feel that light, they integrate that light, they get challenged by that light. So it's kind of like they're absorbing the first wave of consciousness that the planet is hit by when these light codes land. Once there are a couple of people who've integrated the light codes then get sent out as a ripple to the rest of humanity, and then it's kind of made safe for others. So when the front runners are in operation, they find themselves very exhausted. They find themselves like dealing with one thing after the next, and they're gonna say to themselves, "Geez, I need a break. Why is it always so difficult for me?" And this is also why they're called way showers. They get the information first. They get the full crash of the wave of light that breaks upon them. And they're the ones that so many will turn to but not understand, because they've integrated a light that the rest of humanity isn't yet able to. So they're always kind of like marching to the beat of a different drum, you could say. They're going to feel like they're very out of sync with everybody, and there's nothing that they want more than just peace, just harmony. God, that's their yearning. That's their longing. Can you start to see now? We're halfway through. Can you start to see, whoa, I've taken a couple more steps than I realized? Of course you have. Number five. Grid workers. These guys embody. Oh, they embody the light codes. They are silent. They are so silent. They just go about their day. And most of the time, the grid workers have zero idea that they're grid working. Zero. A true grid worker is somebody who embodies light and holds it and anchors it and resonates it, and they just wah, wah, wah. They are working with the consciousness of the planet. They're very deep. They're very introspective. They don't have a lot of words. They don't need them. They don't want them. They like to be, not they like to be alone. They need to be alone. They are incredibly affected by the frequencies of others. A trip to the mall for a grid worker, it's an ordeal. And if they had their way, they would live in the woods. If they had their way, they would live not just in the woods, they would live in that little wooden shack in the woods that nobody would ever know about, nobody would ever find, and they'd be happy there. They wouldn't miss hustle and bustle. They long for solitude, because that's when they do their best work. Here's the sixth one. Spiritual warriors. It sounds like this one's easy to misinterpret, to misunderstand, because it sounds like the fighters. Spiritual warriors sounds like these are the guys in the front lines. No, they're not. But they have a journey. And the spiritual warriors have a journey which is first fighting against, pushing against the system. They are rebels. They are rule breakers. They will question everything, because they know deep inside of them it's not meant to look this way. They know that. As they evolve, however, because each one of these is a journey, right? As the spiritual warrior evolves, the truth of their journey finally comes home, and that is, oh my gosh, I'm not here to fight anything. I'm here to do something harder. What? What could be harder than standing up to all that is wrong in the world? What could be harder than fighting everything that is wrong? Facing everything in themselves. That's what the spiritual warrior is here to do. So these guys are truly unafraid. Their difficulty is to know when to lay down the damn sword, though. Their difficulty is, ooh, to learn to receive, to surrender, to be loved, to let love in. These will be easier in different phases of your journey. When you're in the spiritual warrior phase, it's really difficult because you feel like you almost want to defend yourself or others. And you feel like you need to stand guard of the ascension journey. Except that's just part of this phase. The ultimate healing point, the ultimate homecoming point in this phase is, I'm here to face everything within me, and dear God, that takes courage. Oh la la. So in other words, this is where we drop blame. We stop saying, I feel this way because of you. You did this to me. This is where we kind of grow up and gain spiritual maturity and realize it doesn't even matter who did this. It matters that I feel this. And because I feel this, I get to face this, and I get to resolve, and I get to transmute. Number seven, these are the truthers. The truthers become the spiritual warriors, by the way. They start out as truthers. That's part of the journey. They then move from truthing, and I'll tell you what that is in a moment, into the spiritual warrior phase. The truthers are the ones who see beyond the mainstream media lies. They start to unpick the narratives. These are the guys that are looking at the Epstein documents. They're looking at what's happening that is not being told to humanity, and they get angry. This is a very hazardous job. And within all of these categories, this is one that is so challenging. And of course, none of them are really technically jobs in the sense that you're being paid for this, or in the sense that somebody's employing you, or in the sense that it's meant to be a slog. This is something that we all evolve through. I remember being a truther. I remember being angry because nobody else could understand what I was seeing. And I thought I was meant to wake everybody up, and then they didn't want to be woken up, and I thought I was failing. That's the journey of the truther. It is very difficult because they know so much at the intellectual level. And unlike the light workers, they just want to talk it back because they understand this stuff intellectually, and they want other people to understand too, and they want to explain explain, and they just don't get why other people don't get this, because you may have already noticed this, that all of these categories are frequencies. They're all states of being. And none of them is more enlightened, less enlightened. The truth is are incredibly important, because they're beginning the journey from the foundational level, from the ground up. They're beginning the journey of association or resonance with truth. Their journey is going to take them all the way beyond intellect, all the way beyond where their mind can take them, into the light worker phase, where they are just breathing in light codes, operating in light. That's where their journey is going to take them, multiple steps in the way. Not all of those steps are successive, meaning we don't necessarily have step one leads to step two, leads to step three, leads to step four. You're going to move multidimensionally from step 7 to 1 to 2 to 8. Speaking of category 8, let's talk about them. These are the black sheep. But the black sheep, oh my God, they're important, because they are the rule breakers, the pattern breakers, and the spell breakers. And yes, they've got a bad rap in their family, because they're the ones that are so damn different. They just don't behave like everybody else, so they stand out. They really wish that they didn't, but they stand out like sore thumbs, and these black sheep get blamed a lot. They take a lot of punishment. They take a lot of abuse. The journey of the black sheep is to realize, I am not the names people call me. It's to realize, oh wow, I have to claim me. Because ultimately what they start out looking for is the acceptance of the family or the social structure around them, and then eventually they go through this journey of feeling very outcast, very kicked out, very ridiculed, very abandoned, and then they realize, but wait, I kind of love this. I kind of love my own company. I kind of love who I am, even when others don't. So their journey is to claim themselves. Self-acceptance is a massive part of the healing journey of these spell breakers. And they undertake this journey, it is a very difficult one, often on behalf of the earth lineage. We've spoken a lot about the ancestral lineage that comes from the stars, but of course we all have earth lineage here on planet that have walked through many layers of the false matrix before us. And we as black sheep are very often here to resolve the ancestral baggage on their behalf, but we get blamed for doing it in the process. Now, before I tell you the final truth of all of these different phases, and it's a big truth, so brace yourself for it, it's coming. I'd love to know which of these 8 phases you've walked. Is it all 8? Is it 1, 2, 3? Let me know. What's the final, zoomed out, overwhelming truth? That each and every single one of these categories or phases, each one of them, is the journey of the alchemist. And you might go, oh God, Kerry, you can't end with like another label. No, alchemy is not a label, just as none of these phases of our growth are. An alchemist is a being who transforms frequency from one state of being to another. Did you see that all 8 of these phases had a progression? All 8 of them have a journey? That's the journey of alchemy. That's what I teach in the Plasma Light Tribe, the journey of alchemy, because this is what our gift is. Each one of us, regardless of where we are the ones who've come through our own being, through our own embodiment and enlightenment, to transform ourselves, our belief systems, our patterns that were passed down to us, our limitations, shortcomings, our brainwashings, our programmings. Everything that we were told that we are, we're here to realize that we're not. Because the truth is, we're so much more than human. You're so much more than the label. You are fundamentally a being of change, a change catalyst. And you are alchemical in nature. As you walk the path of alchemy, you're going to progress through multiple different phases, perhaps even more than the 8 that I've mentioned here. This has given you just a little insight into the overview of what you're actually here to do. And I guarantee you this, it is number 1, more simple than you thought that it was before, and number 2, more profound. The scope of what you've come here to do is so much bigger than what you're able to recognize right now. This doesn't mean that you're more special than anybody else. It means that you're more magnificent, more divine than you've ever allowed yourself to see. Let go of the labels and feel what exists beyond all of these. The realization that you're playing a role in a great awakening. The realization that you are at the forefront right now of the awakening journey of humanity. And all of us are connected in this journey of alchemy. All of us are connected to one stream of love, one stream of consciousness, different phases, one stream of consciousness. We're all here to support each other. We are all here to walk each other home because we said we would. We always said that there would come a time in our journey where we would find each other. And here we are. From my heart, all the way to yours. So much love. Whatever the journey is you're walking right now, I hold you in so much love. Speak to you really soon.